Falcon Radio 91.1 WKCS. Good Wednesday afternoon to you. We are broadcasting live from the WKCS studio, and we have a very special guest with us, as we do periodically throughout the year. We have Knoxville attorney Jed McKeon, a graduate of Fulton High School, joining us, and we have an opportunity to visit with him and talk about some issues that you may need to be aware of around the law. So as always, we thank Jed for joining us here in the WKCS studio. And also with us today, we have Jesus and Trey, who's going to be leading our discussion with Jed. Jesus, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just super glad to have you back. And since we're teenagers, I just want to ask you, a lot of us are in social media, so can a post get us in trouble?
The short answer is yes. All right. So it would seem weird that you can do something not at school and get in trouble for it. But we see it happen more often than not. Some incident happens at school or between two school kids. You get on Facebook or TikTok or whatever kids are on now, and they post something about the other person, and typically the ones you get in trouble for are threatening or degrading of another person or something like that. You will see school officials monitor that or it brought to their attention, and that person will receive punishment at school for what you have done outside of the bounds of school, which doesn't seem to make any sense, but yes, you can absolutely receive punishment at school for something that does not occur at school.
And just to piggyback off of that, if someone was like to repost a rumor about you, would that count as defamation?
Well, good question. So let's talk about defamation. So sometimes we get calls from people saying, hey, somebody on social media is talking bad about me. One defense to defamation is it's true. Okay. Say that somebody posts something about you and it's hurtful, but it's true. Hey, they missed the game-winning shot last night on Friday. You know, that, you know, they were terrible. They're a terrible shooter. Okay, maybe terrible shooter is questionable, but maybe they did miss the game-winning shot, okay? That's true, all right? And whether that's hurtful to that person or not, the fact that it is true is a defense, okay? So people throw around that word defamation a lot because it sounds scary and important, but really, it is very hard to prove defamation because you have to show that it actually hurt them some way. Typically in a business setting, it would be like they lost business because they said something bad about me. Like customers stopped going to my McDonald's store that I own because they said there are rats in the kitchen or something like that. All right. Yes. That's a long way of answering your question. I would tell you that, in my experience, the best response is almost always no response, okay? Don't ever post anything on social media that you would not want on your resume when you're applying for a job, all right? It's just one of those things where you feel the need or desire to post something retaliatory in a setting where you're like, well, it doesn't matter. It's social media. It's not at school. Just type out that email and send it to yourself. And don't post it on social media.
So similar to that, what should a student do if they have online harassment or even threats?
Well, the easy answer is to talk to your parents about it or a school teacher or maybe a principal. Or, you know, if it's extreme enough, you can go to law enforcement. In Knox County, they have a great resource called the Family Justice Center, which is just down the road from where we are on Harriet Tubman Boulevard. It's probably within 2 miles of here. And go talk to them about it, okay? But, you know, it's one of those things where if it's try to ignore it, but if that's not an option for you, talk to your parents, talk to school officials, talk to law enforcement at the Family Justice Center.
Sir, and kind of on the same topic, what would be your best advice to teenagers to stay out of legal trouble?
If you think you are somewhere where you probably shouldn't be, then leave there immediately. All right. The things that I see happen the most in regard to juveniles are they're doing something silly, okay, because they're bored. Look, you're a teenager, you're a kid, you are still not an adult, and you're doing something because you think it's fun. We've all been there. I recently represented a college kid recently. His charge was he shot one bottle rocket at a car going by. I don't know what a grown adult who hasn't done that in their life, but this guy got charged with a crime. And he was an adult, 18, barely over the adult age, all right? But he got charged, all right? You know, it's dumb, it's silly, nobody got hurt, okay? But the cops got called and they charged him with a crime. He didn't go to jail, but they issued him a citation. If at all possible, start acting like a grown-up right away. Try to do the silly things you're going to do in a grown-up set, you know, in a grown-up protected environment. If you're going to shoot water balloons at people, make sure the other person knows you're shooting water balloons at them, not just, you know, people walking down the street, okay? It seems fun and hilarious and not a big deal, but somebody will take it seriously because everybody decides to get offended in this day and age.
Okay, so do juvenile records ever go away or do they affect us in the future?
So they tell you that they are sealed and they don't, and that they will not affect you as an adult. But in my experience, when the DAs see somebody charged with a crime as an adult, they have the ability to access those juvenile records and say, well, this guy got in trouble as a juvenile, even though they're not supposed to, okay? So what I would tell you is, yes, they technically do go away, they're sealed, but when juveniles are, you know, committing serious offenses, like, you know, hurting someone or attempting to hurt someone, they will often charge them as an adult anyway.
So a minor can be charged as an adult?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So would that stay on the record for longer or more relevant than a juvenile record?
Yeah, so I've even heard our Knox County judge is Tim Irwin, who played in the NFL for a while and has been doing this for a long time. And he'll say something to the effect of, if you want to commit adult crimes, you're going to be treated as an adult when you do those. Whether, you know, it's firing a gun at somebody or committing a serious offense like an assault, then oftentimes those people will be treated as an adult and face adult punishments, even though they're a minor.
Okay, so changing topics here, now that we're growing up and making bigger decisions, are contracts legally binding?
For juveniles, people under the age of 18, is that what you're asking about?
Sure, let's just answer both. Before and after 18.
Okay, so 18, after 18, absolutely. Okay, you're an adult. You're considered able to, you know, comply with that contract. You know, it's a weird terminology, but juveniles are considered not competent to enter into a contract. Incompetent, okay, because maybe they don't fully grasp the terms. However, I've seen them enforced, okay? Just like you would if you're going to work. You have a job, you're 16 years old, you're going to McDonald's, they agree to pay you $10 an hour or something like that. You expect them to hold up their end of the deal, and you will hold up your end of the deal by going and working there. So I've seen them enforced, but it kind of depends on the situation. You know, can a 16-year-old sign up for a credit card? Typically, we're going to say you're not competent to, you know, fully grasp what you're signing up for there.
And on the same topic as a contrast, are verbal agreements legally binding?
Yes, they are, but there's all these lawyer qualifiers on those, okay? So if I say, all right, I'm going to bring you $100 and you're going to, you know, clean my house for me, okay? That's a verbal contract that's enforceable, okay? Because it's an agreement that we had. You agreed to receive $100 in exchange for cleaning my house. That's a contract. However, how am I going to enforce it if one of us lies and says, okay, well, I agreed to give him $50. Or you said, well, I only agreed to clean the upstairs and not the downstairs. When it's a verbal contract, it's hard to enforce those because, for better or for worse, somebody is typically going to lie and say the agreement was something else. You always, always, always want to have it in writing. We have this come up a lot in landlord-tenant stuff. Somebody lets their cousin stay in their house, and they have a verbal agreement that they're going to rent it from them for a certain amount. And then, you know, they decide not to pay or whatever the case, and there's nothing in writing.
So to avoid any kind of problems, what should somebody look for before signing anything?
Give me an example.
Let's see. Landscaping, it's a contract. What should they look for in order to not get scammed or, you know, something like that?
Sure. Okay. And I know this is hard to do because we all click on things online, we scroll to the bottom and click agree, and then we sign and we go on our way, okay? But if you're doing something like landscaping, all right, probably not a bad idea to read it, because sometimes landscaping contracts, I don't know if you all know anybody who does them, they're like on a year contract. Nobody's mowing the lawn when it's winter out. But why do they do that? They do that because during their lean months, they are not going to be doing anything. And during the summer months, they're going to be mowing the yard a lot. So they'll do it on a year contract, even though they're not mowing the grass for six of those months. Okay. And then the person's like, wait a second, why am I paying during these winter months? And so that's an example of something like you probably want to read it because I bet you're going to pay for the whole year, even though they're only working for 6 months of it.
So make sure you understand the fine print before you sign.
Or maybe pay a few bucks and have a lawyer read it for you.
All right, well, to take this somewhere else, how is the law keeping up with AI?
Not well, all right? I know lots of lawyers who are using AI, and most of them don't use it very well, okay? They'll say, all right, give me an example of a contract, or they'll put a contract into there and say, summarize this document for me, okay? AI is getting used even in the emails I receive from my own clients. I'll think, AI wrote this, because you can kind of tell the verbiage is 100% correct. There's no misspelled words all of a sudden. And you're thinking, wait a second, where is this coming from? All right. But, you know, I would tell you that AI is it's real. It's extremely helpful. OK, but it's not always right. I mean, all of us have probably used AI at least once, and it's not always correct. All right. You'll say, all right, name me the top five best seasons in Tennessee football history. And it will miss one of them, okay? And you'll know that it missed one of them. And so you have to double check this stuff. And, you know, the cases that have come out in regard to AI in the legal field say, hey, look, you're the lawyer. You're the one with the law degree. You can't just not check this stuff. If it's showing a case said X, Y, and Z, you better go find that case and confirm that it's correct.
So I'm sure it's a lot different now with AI, but what was law school like for you?
Terrible. It's 3 years. They only have one test a semester, and that's your entire grade for the entire semester. So you better do really well on that test. I tell everybody, look, if you want to be a lawyer, go do it. It's every day is kind of different. But if you're not sure, you're just going just because you don't know what to do, maybe double think, maybe do a thinking about that, or double check with some attorneys whether it's something you'd be interested in.
That is Knoxville attorney Jed McKeon joining us here in the WKCS studios. And before we go, just going to follow up one more question kind of on the AI. And I'm sure you probably follow trends and things that are going on. Have there been some lawsuits maybe around the country, or is it a hot button topic? Especially we're seeing the development of all these AI videos and the ability could somebody possibly use that for some nefarious purpose?
Of course. Absolutely. And so the big concern in my world is orders of protection or domestic violence. Okay. So all of a sudden somebody's claiming they got hurt and they have AI created bruises on their face or something like that, which is very possible to do. And so my concern would be you can kind of tell AI videos, the sheen is a little bit different. It looks a little bit too glossy and perfect. But I think it's going to keep getting better and better. And so my concern is like, okay, somebody's created this photo that looks very real of bruises and create a situation where they're trying to get the upper hand or get their ex arrested just because they're mad at them. That would be, to me, a very nefarious purpose.
And I guess at some point in time, there'll have to be the development of AI experts that could maybe give testimony on whether or not it's real or fake.
I bet if you Google right now, there's somebody claiming to be an AI expert, but I just don't know that it's been around long enough for somebody to actually have that title and be proficient enough to say they are or they aren't. But maybe so. Who knows?
Well, and probably when we get together here in a couple of months, there'll be even more developments.
No doubt.
In that regard. Jed McKeon, thank you so much for joining joining us, as always, here on WKCS.
You are welcome.
And that is Jed McKeon, joined today by Jesus and Trey, and we certainly appreciate his support of Fulton High School and the Fulton High School Foundation and just really everything that goes on at Fulton. Jed is a proud Fulton High School graduate, and we appreciate that he takes his time to join us occasionally here on WKCS to talk to you about issues around the law. As always, thanks for listening. This is Falcon Radio 91.1 WKCS.
Home of the Falcons since 1952. Falcon Radio, WKCS 91.1 FM.